Lasciatemi cantare con la chitarra in mano, lasciatemi cantare, sono un italiano.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Cave of Solitude, your pop culture and comic book podcast, coming to you from the mega city metropolis of Toronto. I am your host, Eric Anthony. And recently, myself and my co-host, Lady J, have been MIA, but we have been recording as we traveled together through Italy for the first time. We did a 15-day tour where we visited, if memory serves me correct, 11 cities in 13 days, starting off in Rome, traveling through to the Amalfi Coast, where we had a wonderful time, ate delicious food, saw amazing sights, took a million pictures, and for posterity, we figured we record everywhere else. We record on the beach, at restaurant, at patios throughout Toronto. Why not in Italy? So hopefully you enjoy the footage of us traveling through the wonderful country of Italia. If you've never visited before, maybe this will give you the inspiration to do so. And if you have visited before, this will give you the inspiration to go back. So without further ado, Eric and Daff, traveling through Italia. Daff J?
Buongiorno.
This is take one of roaming through the eternal city with Lady J and Eric Anthony of the Cave of Solitude. We have been teasing for a couple of episodes that we are going to have a special on-location podcast. How many podcasts do you know actually take you to Rome with them? I've never heard of one.
No.
Tell them where we are right now as we are recording this.
We are sitting in the square where the Pope pops his head out from the top right window corner.
St. Petersburg?
Yes.
We're at the Vatican.
We're at the Vatican. That was the short answer.
That's all you had to say. So we did our first tour today in Italy. Our two-week tour as we roam through Italy. And we
roam through Rome.
That's right, roaming through Rome. So today our first stops were the Colosseum, a lot of the ancient city, seeing the Roman forums, getting a little history lesson, and then our afternoon was a sojourn through Vatican, the museum.
Hey, did you hear that?
Yeah, the bell, there you go. That's how we should start the podcast.
It's a little authentic.
Right? It's legit. We did a sojourn, if you will, because of all the walking that we had to do in an un-air-conditioned facility.
Oh my God. I'll never complain about Comic-Con again.
Thank you. Thank you to the Vatican and the tour here. Daff J may come to Comic-Con without there being a problem.
My God.
So per day, we learned that there are 30,000 people who come here in the summertime per day. Pretty much all to see the Sistine Chapel.
Which you can't take pictures of.
Which you cannot take. You can take pictures of everything else here, but you can't take pictures of the Sistine Chapel, which makes it, I think, even more unique and a thing to behold when you're in there. But because there's so many people, you're really overwhelmed just by the humanity in there. In the summertime, we were told that coming in November, December, January, it's not as hot. It's beautiful weather right now.
I love it. I'm not complaining.
But it's extremely.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful day. It's been great.
Today's a perfect day.
Yeah.
If it was any hotter, though, it would be like torturous.
It'd be even better.
No.
Yeah.
So, obviously, while you're here, the whole point is for the historic experience. For some, obviously, it's religious experience, if you are Catholic, but being here for me, seeing the history and the artwork of the one and only Michelangelo.
It's Michelangelo.
Oh, sorry, Michelangelo. absolutely incredible.
He was the first comic book illustrator. Can we just say that?
I was gonna say that,
really?
But I thought if I said that, you'd be like, Eric, everything doesn't have to be about comics.
No, it really does. He, like, panels everything, right from the beginning, the coloring, the definition in the muscles. I think he was the original comic book artist.
I would have to agree with you, because when you look at the Sistine Chapel, the storytelling that is done on the ceiling and on that wall that is the Final Judgment wall, and then the ceiling that tells pretty much the story of the Bible, when you go from the center to the creation of Adam, and you go down, and then on one side of the wall you see the story of, of the gospel, and another side you see the story of Moses, and just the way that he was able to, at a time when, you know, what was admired a lot from the people of that time was Egyptian art and Egyptian statues and monuments. And then it was said today that the Greeks, and then later on you see it in the Renaissance art, the form of the body, the anatomy of the body was really perfected, where you got to see it in motion, in form, and seeing those originals. Like here, it's, once you always hear about it, but then when you're here, you just see statue and statue and statue, not really taking a moment to think that this particular monument, this statue, this whatever, this carving, or this sculpture, carving, to me, existed. Like,
you're lost for words.
Like, when this existed, and how many people had seen it through time, and what it meant to certain civilizations, and seeing the way it's expressed and the storytelling that went into these pieces, it's breathtaking. It really is.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. I always seen pictures, and I've heard other people say, "Oh, it's so cool," and I'm like, "Eh, what about it?" And I was kind of glad to experience it for myself and see how amazing it actually is.
He was
originally a sculptor.
Right.
Became a painter, and to do the Sistine Chapel, it took him 4 years and 4 weeks. Right. And let me tell you something, Michelangelo, he was a bit petty.
I kind of like it, I'm not going
to
lie.
He had some tude because, you know, apparently the Pope that assigned him to do this was kind of like, well, okay, when are we going to finish? When are we going to do this? And he's like, hey man, can't rush perfection. And he took his time. And then when he was called upon again to do the wall of what, the destruction of?
The final judgment.
That's the one, final judgment. Well, same thing, AKA, right. I mean, really now. And also too, there was an MC, I forget his name as well,
but he was like second in command to the Pope, like he was his master of ceremonies type of thing.
To the Pope, right. And what he had done was, Michelangelo at that time was drawing the nudes, and this was frowned upon. You don't do this in a sacred place. And so he, in front of Michelangelo, called in the Pope and complained about Michelangelo and his art in front of the Pope. And Michelangelo didn't like that too much. So if you guys ever look at the judgment piece, on the left side, it's all like the saints, and they go up to their final destination in heaven. And then on the right side, it's all the condemned folk.
Right.
And on the bottom right corner, this is a little fun fact. Michelangelo had the balls.
The balls.
To portray the MC that basically tattletailed on him.
He made a rendering of, I guess, the guy who was the gatekeeper for Hades, for hell, or whatever you would call it.
That's right. And he made him look like, or
he put horns on him. He wrapped a
snake around him.
Yeah.
And that was the portrayal of the MC. Imagine.
I know.
Imagine someone having so much disdain for you that when you walk in like this monumental place, you see your face
as the gates
to be
to
the
hell.
Epitome of like pure evil and gates to hell. I mean, I was like, damn, Michelangelo. You just took it there.
And you gotta really put it into perspective, because any kind of art form, regardless of what it is, music, if it's a book, if it's a sculpture, whatever someone's working on that they're saying, this is my art, and this is going to be their life work,
if someone disses that?
It's called the Sistine, this is my Sistine Chapel, right? That's like the pedigree of greatness when it comes to art. So to be on the historically world-renowned pedigree of greatness as the gatekeeper to hell, that's how you're remembered. Don't mess with a person's art.
Look, and after so many after so many years and centuries, look, this guy still has that rep.
That's what I'm trying to say.
That's
is that
30
like hundreds of years later, people say, and this guy down here, if you take a look, they don't say like look at this one that's being saved.
Yeah, no. She kind of skimmed through that. These are the saints that are going to heaven, but this guy. Let me tell you about this guy.
So you got to watch out for petty people and make sure that the person that's petty is in a renowned artiste who can put you in a book.
So the Shane Heron can do some real damage to you and Martin Slam Duncan, really. Yeah. I'm nowhere to be found in his art. So
he does his Sistine Chapel.
I was going to say, I'm like, where am I? Like, in my head when I saw the panel with you and Martin in it. And I'm like, well, how about me? Like,
you got to pay.
But then I was like, after this, I'm like, nah, man. Nah, bro. I'm good. I'm good.
I'm going to be remembered as the gay guy that looks like Marty McFly and Morris. That'll be how people remember me. So what was your highlight for today? We're just waiting for our tour to... what's the word?
Not leave us.
Not leave us, but we're going to rendezvous with them. What was your highlight for today?
What did we do today? Like, I feel like today has been like three different days.
I know, right? Well...
We went to the Colosseum.
Yeah.
We saw the erection of... Constantine.
Nah, we did not see his erection.
That's what she said. It was the erection of Constantine, and then there was the thing to the thing to Venus.
It was the monument. It was erect. It was erected in honor. It wasn't the.
It was. I'm sorry. It was a arc.
We saw Constantine's erection.
It was that's not what I meant. It's an arc that was erected in
the triumph.
Can I finish telling the story?
I'm just
remembering what
it was called.
I want to be able to redeem what I said. Yeah.
There's no redeeming that. That was fantastic, by the way.
Anyway, that's there in front of the Colosseum if anybody wants to see it. And there's a place there for Venus also.
Yes, the temple where she was worshipped. So interesting how, you know what it is when you go to Rome or just throughout cities like this? You see time lapse. Because you've got a building like the Colosseum, and right beside it was the Forum, the old Roman Forum, and you see the temples that were for the pagans. But then, as they're telling you the story, they're saying, but then Constantine became Christian. So all of this was starting to be, what was here was moved here, and then they put it into this place to remember or to collect the history of Rome, but now this is a Christian city, so it's like, the history within this city is kind of like a conflict of interest. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's you're like traveling through time as you're looking at all of these things. Because one minute they're saying, so this is the place where Caesar was assassinated.
Mm-hmm.
And in that balcony, that's where Mark Antony gave the famous speech that's recorded where he lifts up the toga and it's got the blood of Caesar. But then over here, this is when Herod Agrippa or when this person was in power during this age. And that's when they killed the Apostle Peter. Like, you're just traveling through so many hundreds, thousands of years of history that were monumental to different cultures for different reasons.
Which makes me think, why do people come to Toronto? What do we have to offer?
The monument of the CN, the Canadian National Tower.
Is there anything, did anything, I don't know my Canadian history as much as I know, like, American history or, like...
Let's go, Blue Jays.
But that's, like, I don't know, like, what do we got to offer? It makes me think, like, people who live here, it's like, you guys walk by history every day of your life, and I guess at some point it just becomes mundane, but... it's unbelievable the things that I've been able to see and witness, and it's just incredible. And all I do in the city is I just take a metal tube and hope to get out of there.
You've got these euphemisms sometimes that are like...
I take a metal tube? What's wrong with that?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Oh, well, I don't know. You filthy.
You're the one talking about Constantine's erection.
I'm just saying, I'm impressed, and I'm happy to be here.
And I don't know if it gets, I don't know, after you see, like, the pinnacle, it's like, now what? Now I just got to go to Africa.
Right.
And like, see Egypt, and then ride the elephants.
And ride a camel.
Like, you come here, and it's like, this is the pinnacle of artistry and history in one city. So it's going to be exciting to see the rest.
Yeah, we still got so much to go. It's only day two, and we've done everything.
It's time to rendezvous. I don't wanna miss that bus.
Wrap it up.
All right. We'll be back. Take two. Take two. Eric and Daph J roaming in Italia. Daph J, you look like a local, the way that you're dressed. Oh, he is wooing her, and she is not. I don't know if she's like saying, "Come follow me," or we're looking at two pigeons. One looks like the male who is ready to mate, and the other one is most definitely the female. She's playing hard to get, or she's saying, "Listen, Romeo, the balcony's this way." We are currently in Verona. Which is famously the spot where you can see the balcony of Giulietta Capulet. For those who don't know what I'm saying, it's Romeo and Juliet, the Shakespeare play, but apparently there's the balcony of where she lived. I didn't know it was a true story. I don't think it's a true story, but I think it's a representation of what it was like in those days of Verona, where a lot of families were warring with each other and they didn't want their children to mix and mingle and marry into rival families.
What else is new?
Right. But anyways, this has been a whirlwind ride of a trip. I thought we would stop in each place that we were at and get a chance to podcast, but it's been
a whirlwind.
It's been a ride. We've been on planes, trains, buses, boats,
mm-hmm.
gondolas.
That's right.
So
thus far, this is where we've been. We started in Roma.
Roma.
And then we went to, oh, let me look at my trusty travel book, because that will tell me.
Daphne's doing a travel log of everywhere we stop and stay and giving the highlights.
I've been doing that. And then I find that it's exactly what I need when I get stressed out and I feel like I'm going to be left behind or die. So from Roma, we went to Firenze.
Which is Florence.
Beautiful. How did you feel about Florence?
I said this in one of the dinners we had. I think, for me, I'm a big fan of New York City. I think Florence is giving it a run for its money for me. I loved Florence. I loved the history of it. I loved the culture of it. It was magnificent.
Magnifico.
And you don't realize how much, like, you know, you hear, oh yeah, this guy's from there, oh, that guy's from there, oh, so-and-so was also an Italian scientist or explorer, whatever the case may be. But when you're in a place where so much history was born in this city and it's still preserved, all these buildings are, you know, hundreds of years old, and Michelangelo was from there, and that's where his tomb is, as well as
Machiavelli.
I don't know. Was his tomb there? Was okay, it an honorary
maybe, I think
one?
It was a plaque.
I think
Leonardo DiCaprio also had a plaque there.
Leonardo DiCaprio is still alive.
Sorry, Leonardo.
Great artist.
Da Vinci.
Wrong one.
Would you really expect anything different from me? I'm always messing.
No, you also were the one who was talking about, who was it? Constantine's erection in the last tape. So we went to Firenze. I loved Firenze. Could have stayed there for 3 to 4 days just there and explored, gone to all the museums. Definitely, definitely plan to go back there.
What I liked about Florence was, even though it was a very charming city, even though it had all of the grandiose everything, it still seemed very, very sweet. It wasn't still like a big city like Rome where there's like all this power and something. You know how there's this thing?
Mm-hmm.
Florence didn't have that. It had a nice
elegance.
Charm. It had a charm to it, yeah. And elegance, yeah.
But it was still extremely, like, even
where I
still
think you could go not knowing, you would probably like not even think that Florence had any real significance. You'd be like, oh, it's a nice little sweet town. But not knowing how much history and who came from there.
Yeah.
And influence they've had to the world.
Yeah. No, it was gorgeous. Definitely, probably my favorite city thus far on the stop. But we also went to Cinque Terre for the day, which was breathtaking vistas. And we went to the beach that was there. We went to
Like, it's hard to believe people live there or that these places exist. And then you see it, and it's just, I don't know, it just does something to you. What did you think of Cinque Terre?
I love Cinque Terre. Do you know what Cinque Terre means?
Five villages.
Oh, look at who's listening.
Yeah, I like to follow the guide as they're giving us the tour and hear what they say while some people are lagging behind and still taking that right photo. Those people, you know those people, hey, in man, your tour who like...
That's my passion. Everyone has their art, and that's mine.
Fair enough. We'll look back and we'll be able to say thank you, Daph, for recording these events.
So in Cinque Terre, they have these islands, all right? So they have Monte Rosso.
That's the one with the beach. That's the one that's like the go-to. They got the restaurants, the beach is there.
And then we ended up also stopping at Manarola.
Yes, that's the one. That's the one where we basically hopped off, took the pictures of the beautiful view. They've got like a little cove where you can go swimming and some restaurants there as well. I mean, it's all...
And
it's
people
all,
were diving off of cliffs.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. I wish I could have stayed there a little bit longer.
In Monte Rosso at the beach, I think that's one of the one and only beaches where I just walked in. Like, normally I'm kind of like, whoo, I put in a toe and I and I'm done for the day. But it was just perfect water temperature. Like, it was amazing.
You know what I love about podcasting in random places or recording in random places like this?
You see weirdos?
No. Is that people always look back at you like you're a celebrity.
Because the sunglasses and the hat this time?
The sunglasses and the hat. But I've got the headphones in and I'm always asking you questions. So I definitely look like the interviewer and you look like a celebrity. How does that make you feel? As you're sitting here in Verona at the fountain here, close to the Verona Arena, which is still in use today for operas. It's an ancient, obviously it's very old, but it still fits 20,000 people. 25,000 people, they said.
Mamma mia.
Okay. One of my favorite things thus far, and I knew this was going to be the case, but I didn't know how much, is there's gelato everywhere.
Guess where we went?
Oh, yes. So we went, another stop we had.
Someone who had, okay, finally, we benefited from my junkiness.
Finally.
So on Netflix,
excuse me,
there's this Netflix original series called Somebody Feed Phil.
Right.
I believe he's the creator of Everybody Loves Raymond. And he does this kind of food. It's like an Anthony Bourdain, but with lots of laughing. Where he's, you know, trying, he travels and he, all these different cuisines, and he goes to all these like little holes in the walls or these gems. Anyway, one of the episodes was Venice. So I paid special attention to Venice because I'm like, I want to go to these places. Unfortunately, some restaurants were closed. They close on Wednesday and Thursday for some reason.
Yeah, El Covo is what it was called. And it was...
Ridiculo.
It was... one of the places featured on this episode of the documentary series. And we had planned to go there. But the 2 days of the week are the 2 days that we were there. How convenient. Or inconvenient.
So anyway, and we kind of had this... We approached this trip for anyone who's listening and cares about what we say around here. We're doing a tour. And so it's kind of our itinerary. Our trip is put together for us. We obviously have some leisure time that we could do whatever we want. And so we were kind of... Like what we always do when we go to New York, when we do whatever, we just walk around and we stumble. That's how we travel. And I had remembered watching this episode, and not only did he go to restaurants, but he actually went to a gelateria. That's how they speak here, okay?
Okay.
And so, anyway, it kind of fell out of my mind. I forgot about it completely.
You wrote it down, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
No, you didn't.
I did not. I wrote other things down that was closed. And then we found other stuff that we loved. But this completely slipped my mind until we were walking. And we saw this redheaded woman with orange lipstick and a tattoo. And me and Eric just literally stopped in our tracks, looked at each other, and we're like, we know her.
Yeah. Don't we know her from somewhere? And it's really... a hole-in-the-wall gelato place, which are usually the best ones. Don't go to the chains if you ever come to Italy. Try to find that unique gelateria. And we recognized her, and I remember wanting to go there specifically because there's gelato everywhere. But
and apparently she does it herself.
Yeah. So we walked in, we got the recommended, the one that Phil on the show had tried, and it blew my mind. It had Nutella in it. I never thought to try ice cream with Nutella in it. And
I got my limone. I love lemons. It's my thing.
And when I walked in, I told the guy behind the counter, I said, listen, I came all the way from Canada to try this ice cream because I saw her on TV. And he called her in and said, what was her name? I forget what her name was now. Sandra. I think it was Sandra.
It ended with an A.
Yeah, I think it was Sandra. And he goes, Sandra.
And then all of a sudden, hey, I'm famous. It was amazing. It was so good.
Yeah, so that was pretty fun to be able to be in a spot that you saw on a program where you're like, I could be there and stumble upon that and try that place. And you felt like you were in, like being in Venice. I mean, I felt more than ever I was in a movie. I feel like I'm in a movie when I go to New York, but in Venice.
So true.
Yeah, it's a movie set. It's a city built like a movie set, being on the gondola, and then you turn on the canal, and all of a sudden you got the boat ahead of you, the guy singing the love theme from The Godfather.
Dude, the way they do those turns on the gondola, a whole other level of respect.
Totally.
I couldn't believe it.
Incredible.
And it's not just like, it's obviously it's one after the other taking their time, but it's they're going, like, even if you want to stop, how do you, there's a systematic flow that you can't but tip your hat off to, and I was so impressed.
Yeah, you know, like, there's a lot of things you see that are you see them on television, or you see them in movies, or you hear about them as tourist attractions, and you always feel like, that was kind of overrated. You know, like, what's the hype about it? But thus far, everything that we've done here, nothing's overrated. Like, if you ever happen to stop in Venice, go for a gondola ride.
And that's the thing. It's touristy. It's a touristy thing to do, but how do you come all this way and not do it? It's amazing. The thing with Venice is that obviously you can walk everywhere, but the gondola is going to take you into those like residential little spots and places that you can't really reach when you're just walking the streets.
And keep in mind, like, these are the little things you learn. And I think as we have more time, because we podcast when we've got like a couple minutes downtime, but as you have more time, we'll share a couple of the gems that we picked up from the tours. But Venice, the gondola rides specifically were for only the aristocrats, for the royalty, and the commoners weren't able to have a gondola ride or a gondolier guide them. So you're getting a piece of history of what it was like hundreds of years ago and how people made their commute through the city. So now it's like a tourist attraction and a ride, but it is an authentic experience of history that you're getting a chance to experience.
And the people that steer or do the gondolas, they're Venetian.
Yeah, born. They have to be of Venetian descent.
Yes, they're born and bred, and they all own their gondolas and all that. Like, it's serious stuff around here.
And wearing the striped shirts, if you don't wear the gondolier uniform, you will be fined. I didn't know that. I thought it was just like, you work for a company, here's your uniform. They privately own their own gondola, but they are all expected to have a uniformed outfit. And there's specific colors that they're able to wear, but they have to be the striped red, the striped black. Is it black or blue?
I think it from far it looks black, but close up it looks navy blue.
Yeah, navy blue, sure. Like very naval. So there's all these little cool tidbits. We got to get going because our bus is going to leave us. We will be back soon for Take 3, Daft J, Roaming and Indie.
Ciao!
Okay, this is Take 3, Eric Daft J, Roaming and Italia. Daft J, what's shaking? We've been, since we last spoke in Verona, which was, I don't even know how many days ago, whirlwind. We stopped in San Gimignano.
Yep.
Say it.
San Gimignano.
And then we stopped and had wine tasting in Siena and in the Chianti, part of Siena, where they make Chianti, and we had dinner there as well, which was delicious. And then we spent the day in the city of Siena, which is
the medieval.
Yes, it's a medieval city.
And to this day, they do horse racing.
Yes, in the square. You've probably seen it in a movie. I think it was in a James Bond movie where they're in Siena, and they have that two times a year, both times, once in July, once in August. They do this traditional race on the horses where they ride them bareback. No saddles, no nothing, and it can get pretty messy out there. What did you think so far of those quick stops that we've had in different cities where we spend 2 to 3 hours in each, kind of tour the place? Did you have a favorite amongst the cities where we did like little day trips in? Oh, Verona we liked. We talked about that one a little bit.
Verona we liked. Siena, that was the one city I think that I don't remember. I don't think we got a tour guide with that. So I knew I was standing in places that, you know, historical things happened and crests and, you know, meaningful stuff, but I didn't know what I was looking at. So that was a little bit, I would like to go back and get a little more intel on that city.
Was it pretty enough for you to want to go back?
It was interesting enough for me to go back. I wouldn't say pretty.
Okay.
But it did, I did feel like I should be wearing some kind of suit of armor.
You thought for sure you would see like a knight walk by.
Right, yeah. And like, I need a horse, like that kind of, like I walked around like I needed a horse and carriage kind of thing, I don't know.
So from Siena, we made our way down back to...
Where is she going?
Okay, right now, as we speak, we are sitting on a hilltop. Is it a hilltop?
It is a hilltop.
We're sitting at a hilltop, probably the most beautiful view I've ever seen in my life. Probably.
It's the island of Capri.
The island of Capri. We took the gondola up, or...
The funicular. All the way up to the Piazzetta.
Does it have a name? Piazzetta of what?
Piazzetta.
I think it's Umberto.
Lucio, Priscilla, I don't know, Alfonso. There's a bunch of them up here, right? I'm just trying to understand why.
DAFJ's people watching.
You know when you scroll on like social media and you see these beautiful people wearing these beautiful clothes, looking beautifully, and you're like, "Oh, that's fake." It's really happening.
As we speak.
This chick here, her hair has a bow, like in a ponytail. Her lipstick is shining bright. She has not one bead of sweat on her. Her dress is all flowy. And I'm over here looking a mess.
We're in our beach wear because we were told we're coming to the island.
No, but
there's
like,
a beach.
But like, no. It's not just because we're wearing beach wear stuff. First of all, we look decent.
Yeah.
Secondly, doesn't matter beach wear. It's hot.
Yeah, it's...
How do you look like that?
Is it extremely hot?
How do you look like that in this weather? Like, unless you just said, look, I'm going up there just to have some me time. But I don't understand it. I am sweating through my clothes. My hair is sticking to my neck. I got snot coming down my face.
It's not coming down your...
No, because I'm all like drippy. Like I'm dripping it from everywhere. Like I'm hot and I'm just sticky.
So before I pressed record, you were like, I'm hot. I'm sticky. I got snot.
I don't understand how these people look like this. And I'm in the same place. I made some effort today.
For the record, you look very nice. And I'm not just saying that so you don't punch me, but you look very nice. All the pictures that you're in look very nice. Your hair is very nice.
She's been standing there for, like, I swear to you, 15 minutes.
Yes.
In the same spot.
In the same spot. But it for those in Toronto listening after the fact, it's like a person going to Yorkdale Mall. But... Now I'm going to say, when I see someone in Yorkdale all dressed up, I go, what do you think you are, Capri? Because really, when you think about it, if you're going to look pretty, you might as well
I'm
be here.
I'm not hating. I'm not throwing shade. I mean, she's...
I could use you throwing some shade at me right now. I'm cooking.
The appearance of this particular person that I can't keep my eyes off of. I mean, she suits the surroundings.
Absolutely.
It's absolutely beautiful.
Yes.
But I can't help but think, like, beside her, I look like... a street dog. I'm a homeless mutt compared to her.
You look like the tramp.
She's
lady, you're the tramp.
I just can't believe people can look like... I thought they only look like that in pictures and magazines, but it's right. She's right there. She looks
maybe
beautiful.
Maybe it's a magazine shoot.
No, she's the only one. Everybody else is kind of... And they wouldn't do a magazine shoot on their phones.
That's true. Well, with the phones these days, you never know.
No. They'd have the big... the reflecting thingamajigger. There'd be less people. Anyway, this is what we've been doing. We've been people watching when we stop by a fountain, when we stop by a basilica, a church, garbage can. This is what we do.
So, other than people watching, which is probably one of our favorite things to do once we get into a city and settle down and have some lunch, yesterday we went to... yesterday was... extremely hot, but it was so... It was super interesting.
Why is everyone complaining about the heat?
It's because we're... the white people are melting out here. That's why.
Well, then you guys should have got chosen to go somewhere else.
Just chosen? My parents chose to go to Canada. Or my grandparents did. This is the home country. It's still hot. Listen, are you listening? You're taking more photos. You're trying to take a photo of the person?
No, I don't care about her.
Okay.
I'm taking in the scenery. This is breathtaking. Where, like, there's mountains and all this greenery, and you can't even imagine. There's people way up at the top. Like, how do you even get there? I'm looking at these narrow, narrow cliffside roads, and it's just fantastic. And it's been here for years, and it's still here.
I feel like I was in Count of Monte Cristo just a little bit, riding into Capri on the boat with all of the cliffs and the mountains and the grottos and all those different things. Like, I felt like I was definitely in... a place where they've shot scenes from movies. Speaking of scenes from movies, yesterday we went to Pompeii.
Yes, we did.
And speaking of hot, once upon a time, Pompeii got very, very hot.
The Mount Vesuvius erupted. It was an active volcano, but nobody knew that it was even there. And then one day, I forget now, I think it was 157 degrees Fahrenheit.
I think it was five. No, wasn't it five? You were telling me yesterday.
Did I say five?
Yeah, 500 and something for 120 seconds. Something like that, right? Did you write
it down?
Was
it 120 seconds or a minute 20?
Something like that.
Anyway, it got so hot, poor people, in that time. It got so hot, literally, their heads exploded. Like, yeah. There was no way they could... And so they found... Well, you're better at this part.
Oh, no, I'm not really that much better because I was listening intently to the tour guide, but I was so hot that I was always looking for some shade. But basically, most people know the story of Pompeii, but seeing the city that has been dug up underneath all of the volcanic ash that had covered it for so many years, I think it had been discovered not so very long ago in the past. Maybe it was buried for... over 1,000 years, right? And then someone tried to build a canal within the area, and as they were building the canal, they discovered an entire city had been buried under the volcanic ash. And the things that they find now to walk through the ruins of Pompeii with all of the excavating that they've done would take over 2 weeks because there's so much there. And they had chosen to be underneath the Mount Vesuvius, not knowing that it was an active volcano because the soil and everything was so good.
How many years did it take for them to build the city? And then, like, what, 17 days after they were completed thing, that's when it erupted?
So I think it erupted in 79 AD, if my memory serves.
Mm-hmm.
And a few years before that, they had suffered an earthquake.
That's what it was.
They were suffering earthquakes. And I don't know if it was a couple of years or months later. It wasn't very long, suffice to say. I'd have to look it up to be exact because I don't remember now. But that's when the volcano erupted and there was nothing left. Anybody who was in the city...
If there are any survivors, they were people that were not there.
Yes.
So like they were elsewhere running errands or doing something. That's the only reason why they survived.
So, yeah, and uncovering these houses and seeing the artwork in them that is still intact, and seeing the type of homes that they had, and the way the roads were paved.
And the artwork, not like picture in a frame artwork. We're talking murals.
Yeah.
And murals that told stories. It was very interesting stuff.
And you see all of the, based on the artwork they had, you kind of knew the personalities of whether they were, you know, enjoyed rich. Comedy, whether they were rich, whether they were very, what's the word? Of noble, if they were of nobility. And then even the businesses, like in Pompeii, people were, in our tour group, kind of the tour guide was saying to a young boy, you know, what kind of door do you think they would have had to open here? Because it was illegal for them to open the door onto the street because it would have hit people walking
and the horses. And the horses, yeah.
And the horses. You couldn't open it going in because people didn't like it. It was either that people didn't like it or it was a nuisance to open it going in. So how would they have opened the door? And if you look at the way that the house is designed and the way that the concrete was laid,
it's... She even has a belt on. Look at that belt. It looks like a...
Why don't you go take a picture with her?
No. I just changed directions and then she's there again and I'm looking at her and I'm like, that's a hefty belt. Aren't you... Like, I'm so, I don't even have... Like, the closest thing to my body is my bathing suit. And I'm, like...
Dripping.
I can't handle it.
I know.
And I like the heat.
Yeah. It's a hot one. They had... Going back to what I was saying about
Pompeii. Sorry, yeah.
It's apparent that the way that they would have opened up their shops was with sliding doors. They had figured out a way to have sliding doors. They had figured out plumbing. And how to
properly... In North America, we're all like... Ooh, sliding doors, so fancy. It's like, how about they had it back in Roman times from, like, way back then?
Yeah. So just seeing, like...
They were ahead of the curve. They had so much technology. He mentioned so many different things.
Yeah, to prepare for any eventuality other than a volcano.
Even for the way that they built their streets.
Yes.
Just to avoid any flooding.
Yes.
Or how to get across from one street to the other. So they had like these stepping stones from one sidewalk to the other. Because if there were floods, then how would you be able to move around? It was very innovative.
Extremely innovative. That's a great way to describe it. Extremely innovative for the time, seeing as everything was still crude.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a plumbing system, like I said, lead pipes.
Yeah, you were a reoccurring theme yesterday.
Yes.
And since everyone knew your occupation, they had fun with you.
I don't think I've ever spoken of my occupation on the show, so you're giving everything away.
Oh, sorry.
Yes. So I was interested, needless to say, in the way the city functioned. And then, of course, there were temples and going into people's homes. Daph was mentioning the artwork, and you could see the gods that they honored and the way...
And the whorehouses. The whorehouses were...
Do you remember what it was called?
V didn't start with a V? It was a wolf.
Yeah, lumpanada.
That sounds like a treat.
Well, for some.
No, I don't remember.
Yeah, I think it was lupanera.
Something.
Because it was a she-wolf.
She-wolf,
So, because they would, when the prostitutes would walk through the town, they would howl at them. Because they were known as the she-wolf, right?
Mm.
And
The Me Too movement wasn't play at that time.
At that time. Well, in this particular city, the symbol of manhood, shall we say, was a good luck charm, sign of prosperity, because their ideas were that your life continues on by passing on life, by having children and the like. So the symbol of one's manhood was a symbol of fertility and prosperity. So throughout the city, there are...
Penises.
erect, as you put it in the first take, Constantine's erection throughout the city, pointing the way to the whorehouse.
To the brothels,
yeah. And sometimes even in the road, they were used as arrows.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
to how to find the brothel.
Yeah. So, and when you walked in, do you want to talk about how you walked into it? When you walk into the brothel, what was... The mosaics on the wall?
Yeah, there was stuff there.
So they, in their paintings, they would have a woman represented in pink, a man represented in brown,
it was like the original Kama Sutra book, I think. I saw positions on that wall. And, like, I didn't realize what I was looking at. Like, I'm looking. And like,
you're taking photos on photos.
I am, because I was trying to look for the pink lady and the brown man. I'm trying to see whatever, whatever. And then all of a sudden, I'm really taking in these images. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, oh.
That's what that is.
Okay. Like, I didn't realize that that was displayed so freely.
And it was, I think, displayed in a way for you to say, like,
that's what I want to do?
Yeah.
Probably. I don't know.
It was like the...
He didn't really get into too much detail. He just said what he said about who represented who in those places.
Yeah. It was strange going there with children.
Well, there was one.
There was one in our tour group, yeah. But it was actually a woman who said to the tour guide, like, yeah, I want to see it. Because he wasn't originally going to take us there.
Yeah, because he thought it would be crowded with people and it would take up too much time. But it turned out that there wasn't many people.
It's interesting to see, because it was the one place where...
The beds, like, were rock hard. And I'm not... They were rocks. But they had a little slope for the pillow.
There you go.
I'm just saying, like, that couldn't have been comfortable, no? That had to hurt.
I've never... I don't know. I wouldn't be able to...
Listen, no experience. I just went to the beach on Capri, and the beaches here are beautiful, but they're not as sandy as you would think.
They're not sandy at all. They are rocks.
I was getting to that.
Sorry.
So I'm just thinking to myself, like, even for my poor little feet, I couldn't take the stones. Imagine being, like, in the throes with... A woman who's willing to do the imaginable.
Unimaginable, even.
Right?
Yeah.
And, like, on her hands and knees and elbows and things. I don't know. That would hurt.
I would imagine so. It wasn't a great life.
I wonder if that was a prosperous occupation back then.
I think it was an occupation of desperation back then, because they said that it was a life of misery for those people. And what interested me about going... into that section of the city was the fact that it was the one place where the roads weren't straight.
So that's why the saying comes to stay on to be on the straight and narrow.
Or that's at least what the tour guide told us, and I'm going to say that's the reason why.
I'm just repeating what he said.
No, it's true. It's true, because the whole city is done like a grid, like New York was. And this was the one place, apparently, all of the in towns where the roads would go down these pathways, the road would turn and it would be used to hide. So people couldn't see you. You want to start walking? You want to take the funicular down?
Already? What time is it?
I'm not sure. But we can't be left, because this time we got a boat. We have to catch our boat. All right.
We have lots of time.
Yeah, we got about an hour and a half still to stay on this beautiful island. So, Capri... Out of 10, what would you give it?
A 13.
Oh, wow. I thought you were going to say a 3 just to be funny. No. 13. You love it.
It's beautiful. I can't.
And it smells nice.
Every turn I make, there is this whiff of gloriousness. And I don't know if it's the perfumeria or the flowers. There's just plants and green and flowers everywhere. I don't know if it's the bakeries, but it's delicious up here. Just absolutely delicious. And we had a lemon slush drink. So good.
Yeah, that lemon slush is fantastic.
Very, and then, very good.
Then we're going to go try limoncello in
a while. Yeah, we're going to do a limoncello tasting at 4 o'clock today. We've had so much on the docket, so much, and I'm confusing my days. I have this travel book that I thought to myself, I'm going to just be jotting down what I'm doing, where I'm going, what I'm seeing. Nope. I got pages halfway written. I have pages skipped. I have, you know, bus bumps on my pages in my book.
But, it's authentic, though.
But, yeah, it's definitely... telling my story, which is what I want to do. I'm really enjoying this trip. It's beautiful. The weather's been amazing. Sure. It only rained torrentially one morning. But an unforgettable couple decided to not set their alarm, and they were late for a departure, which made me feel...
You were unimpressed. We'll leave it at that. You were unimpressed.
It was the first full day, and I said to myself, you know, Daph, these are people that you're going to actually be traveling and living with for the next 2 weeks, which didn't really dawn on me when we booked this trip until it was getting close, and then when we were here, and then we were talking to people, and I'm like, I'm going to have to hear you laugh.
The whole way.
The whole way.
And tell stupid stories and argue with your husband.
My God. Thank God they're not on the trip anymore. But but this is the thing, right? You take the good with the bad. We're seeing and doing amazing things. And you have some characters. And they actually, they add to the trip sometimes.
Totally.
And, okay, so back to this original couple who did not set their alarm. So now they're late. So our departure time, let's say it was supposed to be 8 o'clock. Now we're leaving like 8:30, 8:35 or whatever. However... Silver lining, guys. Silver lining. That's one thing I think I learned on this trip. There's always a good thing somewhere in the bad. If you look for it, it will be there. Torrential raining. They finally showed up by the time we got to where we had to go, which at that time was the Coliseum. Pure sunshine. Came out with a vengeance. Had we left when we were supposed to and gotten there on time, we would have gotten soaked. But because we were about 25 minutes late or whatever, we got there just in time. And that, I'm grateful to them for that.
Yeah, it worked out perfect.
Also, he's a barber and he saw Eric's haircut and I cut Eric's hair. And he's like, you know what? That's actually pretty good. I'm like, you're just saying that because, you know, we have to live together for the next thing. He's like, no, I'm actually saying for someone who doesn't know, you know what you're doing. It looks good. And I was like, oh, my God.
When he looked at it, though, I had my head on a 45 degree, so it wouldn't look so crazy. I'm just kidding.
You just have to ruin it all, don't you?
It's a joke.
You're a son of a bitch. Why would you have to take that away from me? If a professional has been doing it for 40 plus years, says I did a good job, I'm going to take it.
To be funny. It's
no,
a joke. It's
not
a
funny.
Bit.
It's not funny. I am proud of my work. I am the Leonardo da Vinci of your head. Okay? So...
You're such a dork.
So just take it easy. That's my masterpiece.
Oh,
that
my
made it all
goodness.
The way to Italy, and everyone's complimenting you on your hair.
The things that you come up with and say on the spot, you can't rehearse. Who says I'm the the innuendos you say without recognizing?
What?
It's okay. We're gonna. You think about it. You're gonna laugh once we press the. Pause button.
What did I say?
You said I am the Leonardo da Vinci
of your head.
Dork.
Why is that a bad thing?
It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing.
Why is it a funny thing?
I'll tell
Fill
you.
Fill me in.
I'll tell you after.
Why?
It's all good. We are going to walk around, probably get some gelato to cool down because it's extremely hot.
I still want to know what you're talking about. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
That's not what I meant.
I know. We got the laughter on the thing. All right. We will be back with everybody soon.
That's not what I meant.
All right. This is take 4. Daph J and Eric Anthony roaming through Italy. Daph, tell them where we are now.
We are now in the Amalfi.
Do you remember the specific name of this town? No?
I don't care. I'm by the water.
You can hear the water. It's powerful. We are in Vietri of the Amalfi Coast, which is, I think... So the Amalfi Coast apparently is a very, very big place. It goes from...
It goes from here to there. And we're in between...
I think we're at the bottom part of it.
We are in the most, we're in a very pretty spot with rocks and cliffs and waves and fishes and people named Jacob who've impressed me.
This is the thing. We didn't know this, but if anybody listening comes to the Amalfi Coast in Italy, which is in the southern part, close to Salerno, about an hour away, not really an hour away, but an hour drive based on the traffic and roads that they have from Sorrento, a little bit more south from Sorrento, the beaches here are not sandy the way we think of beaches. Because they're by cliffs and mountains and rocks, they're rocky beaches. So if you do come here, bring water shoes with you and you will have a great time.
We came prepared.
We came prepared. We were at the beach in Capri, which is no sand. It's just stones and rocks, which is fine. But getting in and out of the water was difficult. So we were told the Amalfi is similar. Come prepared with water shoes and you'll enjoy yourself much more. So we did that and we walked in the water from beach to beach here.
I told you we should have... Bye, see you later. Ciao. I forgot what I was going to say now.
You're saying you told me.
I tell you so many things. I don't know now.
There's so many things that you begin to tell me that you never finish.
Anyway, how are you doing?
I'm so hot and sweaty and glorious.
We'll get into the water.
You just came out of the water. You want to go back in?
You can go back in.
How are you? You're kind of a chicken when it comes to getting into the water at beaches.
No. I am not a chicken. I have respect for the water. There's a difference.
And the water here is no joke because there really isn't... It's only really shallow by the shore where the rocks and the stones, you can still see them, but it gets deep very quickly.
Very quickly. it just hits you like that.
So there was one portion of the beach that we were walking on. This is the story I was getting to with the water shoes. There's one portion of the beach that we were walking on where somebody was throwing bread into the water and Daphne hauled ass as soon as she saw someone throwing bread in because she was certain that he was feeding sharks by the shore.
I don't like seeing water floundering about because I believe that there's some kind of living thing that will come after me. So I, again, respectfully maintain distance and steered clear. I don't know what's down there.
I realized.
And the water's clear here, so you can't actually see the bottom of the whatevers. But when it's that far and you see like
fish spattering.
Splish. I saw a fin as big as my like.
No,
it was
no
huge.
Fins.
It was huge. It looked vicious.
Not vicious.
All there needed to be was like a pool of blood, and there was like a massacre. That's
the
what
best.
It
the
like.
Best part of it is that you turn around and say, "We got to get out of here. We got to get out of here. It's vicious over there." You one hand paddle. You do a one hand paddle. Jumped on my back, was choking me out, and then he said, "Turn around. I want to see it." So from a fair distance, you love being extremely frightened.
No, I don't like it.
I think you do.
Anyway.
The funniest thing you said to me on this trip, one of the funniest things was, "I think I want to watch it." And I said, "You're ready?" And you said, "Yeah, but I don't want to watch it. I just want to hear it." So you want the audio book? No, I want the movie. I just want to hear the movie. You're dying to be frightened by it.
No, I don't want to be frightened. I just want to know. I want to know what's going on.
Well, you don't need to know what's going on. You know the story.
It's so nice right now.
It's very beautiful outside. You've got cruise ships coming by, all kinds of private boats going by. I wish these are the moments where I wish we owned a boat. If you owned a boat, what would you name it? Because you know boats always have, like, a special type of name. It's not just called, like...
I don't know. I can't think of a name right now, but I think... I don't know if I'd want a name so much as I'd want a title.
That's what I mean. Would you give it a title?
I'd give it a title.
So it'd be, like, Daphne's Jewel.
No.
It wouldn't be named with your name
no,
in it.
No, it wouldn't have my name in it, no.
The Jewel of the Nile.
I don't know. I just know it would be some kind of title.
Come up with one.
I don't know right now. Freestyle
one.
No.
Would it have anything to do with a precious gem?
No.
Would it be a dog?
I have no idea.
The tusk. The elephant tusk. No? Nothing? You got nothing. So, unfortunately, I don't have as much history to share about the Amalfi Coast because we came here to just relax.
That was the
out.
Point of this whole thing.
Yeah.
I planned for this trip in regards to note-taking and dictating and what, and it hasn't happened. You brought your microphone thinking we'd have time to just take in the scenery at each town. That hasn't happened. And then just this morning, we noted how many cities we've seen in a span of like what?
In 11 days, we've seen 13 cities.
Yeah. So let's count them. We started out in Rome.
Saw Rome. We've been to the Colosseum. We did the Forum in Rome. And then we went over to the Vatican.
Okay, so Rome.
Rome, the Vatican. Because Vatican, even though it's in Rome, it's separate.
It's its own state.
Its own state. So Rome, the Vatican. Then we drove the bus up to Florence, saw Florence. And then while we were having our stay in Florence, we trekked over to Cinque Terre.
That's four.
And then we went back to Florence for dinner that night, listened to the wonderful orchestra with our pizza.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, side note, Italians, they've got this thing about putting, like, they call it German sausage on their pizza. It's a hot dog. They fooled me. I ordered a pizza with a hot dog on it. It was good, but the hot dogs. So if you ever come here and they have like wurstel.
I feel like that's not an Italian thing. I feel like that's something that's been Americanized for the tourists.
I think so too, but it was the Italian
And I don't appreciate that. I don't like going to countries and for you having to appease me. I came to the country so I can experience what the country has to offer.
Right.
It's like when we went to Cuba and they tried to give us like raisin syrup as maple syrup. I don't want that.
Yeah.
I want Cuban food. So... whatever. We went on, it's a little bit of a tangent. So from Florence, then we went to
Venice.
Yes,
and Venice was just magical. I felt like I was in Indiana Jones and Italian Job. And
it was like its own little scene. Spectacular.
The gondola ride. Did it live up to the
You know
experience?
What it did? I know it's a touristy thing. But how can you go all that way and not do that and experience it? And it was just so serene and picturesque. Every corner you hit, I mean, Italy's beautiful, and the history behind it is it makes it so much more interesting than just walking by. And what do you want to say?
I was just thinking about Venice. I don't know if we spoke about it, but contrary to popular belief, it's not sinking. It's just that the foundation makes the buildings move from side to side because it's soft. But it's not sinking, it's just moving. So they're always trying to...
So the buildings on Venice...
Yes.
Their foundation is uncertain, not Venice itself.
No, Venice is not sinking. It sounds much more dramatic.
Misconception cleared here on the Cave of Solitude. Right. You heard it here first?
Yes. I don't know if they heard it first, but we're just clearing that up.
And then from Venice, we got back on the boat. Yeah. And then we went back...
That's when we got on the bus and we were headed towards Verona.
We went to Verona,
and then that same day we hopped back on the bus, spent about 2 hours in Verona. Then we went down south a little bit to San Gimignano, which is it's a cute little well-preserved city that isn't not as much of a tourist trap. It's much more authentic. Great views. Close to the vineyards and the countryside, when you look over the city views, it's absolutely gorgeous. And I wish I could have stayed there a little bit longer because they had great like bakeries and places that sold olive oil and different vinaigrettes. Remember that was the place you had that special vinaigrette that you wanted to buy, but we couldn't find it before we left.
So San Gimignano is a hilltop town.
Oh yeah, she took notes.
And it's famous all over the world for the skyline. And it's medieval towers. Mm-hmm. And it was here where we went to a wine estate. And we tasted the world famous Chianti wine.
Yeah, because this is where it's from.
And they gave us antipasti. We ate like in a winery room with barrels all over the place. It looked beautiful. The setting was
really
great.
Nice.
We had is it antipasto or antipasti?
On the menus here it says antipasti.
Right, but how do you say it?
I say antipasti.
So we had that, followed by a main course, followed by something else, followed by dessert wine, followed by another wine. It was just like, we were just drunk rabbits. No, we weren't.
No, we weren't.
But it was really, really good.
So Chianti is typically, well, not typically, it is red wine, but this specific vineyard also specialized in making a very good white wine called...
And it's very rare, she said, it's very rare to have a winery that produces white wine in a land of red.
Right.
And it was fantastic. We like white wine, so this was like a dream for us. It was so good.
And it's called the Vernacci, the white wine. The Vernacci, it was...
And it can only be found in Italy. And I think the red Chianti can only be found in Montreal. Like, you won't find it in Toronto.
Oh, as far as where you could buy this one, right?
Yes.
Right, 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 right. Yeah, there's only certain places where they distribute.
So we went hard in the paint.
Yeah.
And we're drinking it along throughout our trips here in Europe.
Yes. The dinner there, did you enjoy it? I got slighted with a piece of lasagna. This little lady, like 5 foot tall, big as, you know, she looks like a mouse. She got the biggest piece of lasagna, where all the big guys got like a sliver. And you were kind enough to cut off a piece for me. I appreciated that.
From San Gimignano, we went to Siena.
That's where the winery was.
Siena, yeah, is known for the horse racing.
Yes.
And then from there, we went back to Rome. And then from Rome, we then went to Sorrento. From Sorrento, we had a day in Capri. And then from having
you
gone
forgot
to...
Pompeii. We forgot to mention Pompeii.
I didn't mention Pompeii.
That was in Sorrento.
So, okay. Can we start again? It was Rome. It was Rome. And then
Vatican, Florence.
Florence, Cinque Terre.
Venice.
Verona. San Gimignano. Siena. Pompeii. Sorrento. Capri.
And now Amalfi.
Now, some of these places we went back to as well. So, yes, there was a little bit of commuting in between. I don't know. I didn't count. Did you count?
I think it was 11.
Wow.
11 cities.
Wow. So this is a well-deserved break.
Definitely.
That we're having here.
Just soaking up the sun, being by the Mediterranean Sea.
3 days in the Amalfi.
Extremely picturesque.
Oof. Amazing.
And it's hot.
It's been so hot.
The hottest.
I've drank so much water, and I thought I was going to panic. Because they charge you to use their toilets.
Yeah.
In Italy. And it's a business. Which, when I thought about it, I'm like, you know what? I don't really use public bathrooms. And I don't think any city really does. I mean, you go into restaurants, and that's when you can use their facilities. And if not, if you're commuting home, you go to the bathroom at work, and then you get to the bathroom when you get home. I don't know. I'm not the type to just use the bathroom anywhere. But here, public washrooms, they charge you, like, sometimes...
A euro,
2 euros, 0.50 euros. I don't know how to say euros and cents.
Yeah, I know. Me neither.
So,
I was thinking about that.
So, I was kind of worried. I'm like, okay, so we have our water thing down. We were filling up our little pouch water...
Fillable.
Portable.
Yeah. So the one thing to remember in Italy is that when you... if you come here and do a tour of some kind, especially in the bigger cities, Rome, Florence, etc., they've got water pumps, almost like modern-day wells, but pumps, fountains, where you can go and refill your water bottles.
Mm-hmm.
So avoid the tourist trap of people selling you bottles of water for a euro. Or sometimes two. Bring with you a water bottle or a collapsible bottle. In our case, we bought one of those old-looking, like, wine bladders. Everyone thinks I'm carrying wine in my pouch, but it's actually water. You get it at Bass Pro. And you save a ton of money and a ton of trouble by always having water with you.
Yeah, it was a lifesaver. But the amount of water that we were drinking, I'm like, oh my goodness, we are going to have to pee and pay our way to use the bathrooms in Italy.
No.
But you're sweating it out.
Sweating it out.
Like nobody's business.
Yeah.
And so we did pretty good. And most of the places we were staying, our hotels and our excursions, if you will, for the day or tours... They had places where we could use the bathroom free of charge.
Yes.
So it worked out, actually. We did pretty good. But I think, in general, if you're going to, like, backpack through Europe, which I don't know if I could ever do, but if you are, you got to be prepared to pay for water, pay for washrooms. And some washrooms, they even charge you for toilet paper.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to really be careful of the people here who aren't locals or who aren't citizens, who are just trying to find a way to hustle a dollar, because there's a lot of that, especially in the major cities. So I think,
but not throwing shade, this is a beautiful country.
Oh, absolutely.
We've seen a lot.
That's in Europe, right?
That is Europe. I'm just saying, and you know, I don't want it to sound like a deterrent. It wasn't even for us. Like, it is what it is. You see when you can hold it. You see when you gotta go. And you scope out the lines. You scope out who's looking at the bathroom. There's some bathrooms that are like, you know what? Yeah, I'll pay a euro to use a clean bathroom.
Sure.
With security.
Sure.
And cameras. And now they're not in the stalls. But they actually have security people So if you imagine when you're going on the metro in Canada, and you know, you have those doors where you do your Presto card and the doors slide up, that's what it takes to go to the bathroom. Yeah. You go through something like that. You know what? Yeah, if it keeps the bathroom clean and I can sit down comfortably, well, no, I don't sit down, I squat, but still, like, but like, if I can use a facility without the stench and ridiculousness of what public bathrooms are known to be, I'll pay the euro.
Sure. Yeah, no, it's true. You realize the value of it when after the fact, like, oh, this is actually safe and clean and maintained. And
by the by, I found a wallet in the bathroom left behind in
Verona.
Where were we? Verona. Yeah. And guess what?
What?
I'm a good citizen of the world.
I feel like we talked about this already, but it's okay though. I like that you're bringing up your heroics.
Also, I helped a lady with her beach chair.
Yeah, she did.
This is why this is impressive to me, because I don't do this kind of stuff. I mind my business. I don't care to do anything for anybody else because I don't want the attention. I don't want the hassle. But I've been doing stuff, I think, that if, you know, it makes me feel good about being a person.
You found humanity in you.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yes.
It's not bad to be a good person, huh?
Sometimes.
So.
Sometimes you gotta be a bitch to prove your point. But for the most part, being a nice person is a nice thing.
So
I really hope that Jacqueline, what's her name? Jacqueline. I read her identification in the wallet, and she had free, like, there was cash in there.
Right.
Cash.
Cash. How much cash?
There was about, it was mostly credit cards and her personal ID.
So you ruffled through her wallet.
Well, I had to look for her identifications. I had to ruffle through
her cash.
You
wanted to know if it was really worth keeping the wallet or not?
There was roughly 45 euros.
Wow.
45 euros in there.
That's a good amount. That's a good amount.
And every single penny, I am happy to report, made it into my pocket. I'm kidding. No, every single dime, penny, euro was still in there. So I was happy about that.
You're fantastic, MJ. Why? So
are you ashamed that I'm telling the story? Should I have taken it? Let's take a poll. Should I have taken the cash?
No, that's not a poll you want to take.
So why are you looking at me like it's pathetic?
And it's not pathetic. I'm applauding you. So, of course, we're two newbies to coming to Italy, but I would highly recommend, if you've never been to the country before and you want to see numerous places, I'd recommend a tour because it's safe, you're well taken care of, you're well informed.
Unless you know where you're going and you know what to do.
If you've never been.
Oh, I see.
If you've never been, right? So if you want to check it out.
And accommodations are
very good.
Transportation. They'll take you to all the places where, like, you can use the toilets for free.
Yes.
And, yeah, you're
taking
care of. The
coach buses are very comfortable, mm-hmm. air-conditioned. The tour guides are good, or the tour coordinators are good. There's a difference here between tour guides and tour coordinators.
Great.
The guides are specifically trained people to take you to historical sites and to give you information. They have to be from the place.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things. And they go to school for it. They take a course, exams, etc.
They get licensed.
They get licensed to do it.
It's not like you're getting some. So this is an experience I heard. Sorry to interrupt you. This is an experience that I heard of one of the people that we were traveling with. He kind of just took it upon himself on his own leisure time to just explore the city. He's a cool principal in Montreal. His name is Roberto. Anyway, so he was reiterating his experience. One night he went out in the town just walking about, and then some local came up to him and said, "Oh, buongiorno, no, and la la la." And Roberto is also Italian, so he was engaging as well. And so he's like, "Oh, what are you doing?" He's like, "Oh, I'm just taking a walk." And he's like, "Oh," he's like, "do you know what this building is?" And he's like, "Oh, that's interesting." And so he told him, and then he's like, "Oh, if you look to your left, there's this and that, the third." This is what the local is doing with our travel friend. And then finally he shows up to his hotel and he's like, "Oh, you know, it was nice meeting you. Like, okay, good night." He's like, where are you going?" This is the local. He's like, "Where are you going?" He's like, "I'm going home." And he's like, "Okay. So?" And then Roberto says, "So?
So?"
And then he's like, "So you're going to pay me?" And he's like, "Pay you? Pay you for what?" He's like,
We were walking.
You're a tourist. We went on a tour. We did a walking tour. Where's the money? So now Roberto says, I'm sorry, guy. Like, I have nothing on me. He's like, well, this is your hotel, isn't it? And he's like, yeah. He's like, I'll be here.
Actually, you're right. Your story is 100% correct. But he actually, when they went to the front desk, he asked.
So, yeah, that's the point I'm getting. Okay. So he's like, I'm going to be right here. So then as they're approaching, you know, the elevators, one of the front desk people says, are you here together? And before the actual guest can say anything,
Robert,
the local said, yep, we're here together.
So he was going to try to get to the guy's room.
So he turned around and said, look, thanks for the tour. I don't feel comfortable with you coming to my room, but I will come back down with the money. He's like, yeah, you better. So then Roberto,
using his smarts,
smart guy, street smarts
and school smarts.
You know what? This is the thing. This is about, you know, the lesson of life and travel. Like, these are the things you need to pick up on. So anyway, he gets into the elevator and he goes two floors up from where his actual room is, because from the lobby, you can see where the person goes.
Right.
And then he takes the stairs down to his actual floor, gets on the phone, and tells front desk, is like, look, this is the situation. This is what's happening. You need to escort him out. And that's how he took care of business. So you can get a local tour, but you're probably going to be gouged or your life will.
Yeah, you definitely have to be street smart. So that's why your first time coming around, wanting to know what's what, where to go, what to see, which cities you might like, it's valuable to have that guided tour. Air Transat, Air Canada, one of the local.
Yeah, this guy survived. He lived to tell the story.
Yeah.
So that then I can tell the story.
Yeah.
So that you can learn of the story. So that you can make your own historia. Right?
Right. Thank you, Dab J. That was it was actually very informative to get an idea of what it could be like here if you're not aware or
if you're
prepared.
Not savvy.
Yeah. And
even if you are and you do have your guard up like this particular person did, because he was able to do, he went off on his own a lot.
Yes, he did.
And he could get around because he knew the language, but things can happen. And so you just got to be aware. But if you want to enjoy, like for me, wanting to book this trip, it was a little overwhelming initially because I'm like, I want to go here, I want to go there, I want to see this. But how do I get there? And you know, do we take a boat? Do we take a train? Do we rent a car? It was very much, it became confusing, where to the point where I was deterred from wanting to come here.
Yeah.
But the tours that are available.
On point.
Yeah.
Safe, on point. You work, you go places as a group. You have your own free time when you're there and you come back together, get back to your bus, your hotel as a group. So you're safe and sound and you're taken to good restaurants. You're taken to places where it'll be worth your while if you do want to spend money. Like, we went to the official limoncello store and we bought legitimate limoncello.
That's
for
right.
Good prices, and you got a free tasting while you were there of all of the products, the chocolates, the cookies, the different.
And most of the time what would have been included in your tour would be the main attractions or things to do in that town. So, for example, when we went to Cinque Terre, we didn't have to worry about lining up, getting tickets to go
That's
up
right.
the funicular. When we were in Venice, we, you know, could do certain things. When we were in the Vatican.
Yeah.
Having to get into the Vatican,
you bypass all the line.
The lineup.
Hours long.
I mean, there's probably still people waiting from 3 days ago. I have no idea. It was insane, but you bypass all of that when you go with a tour. Now, again, I've never done it any other way. Maybe if you have family, wherever you go, they have ways of doing it. Maybe they can get tickets online or whatever. I'm sure there's ways, but my goodness, the amounts of people. It's also the time of year that we came.
Yeah.
It's high season, lots of tourists. The weather is spectacularly hot.
And the other thing to take note of is that not just that the rest of the world is traveling here, but Italians all take vacation at the same time.
That's
for
right.
the most part. In August, all the factories and such shut down. So everyone that is not working in Italy are also going to the places that you're visiting.
Mm-hmm.
So on top of world travelers, you're getting local travelers. So that's something to keep in mind as well. It sounds like we're selling trips at this point of the podcast.
No, I think
Well,
Here's something I learned.
Is what we're doing.
The best food, like the best pizza is in Napoli.
Mm.
The best, for the most part, the best meals I've had have been in the southern region.
Right.
Although in the northern part, in Florence, there was fantastic food as well. The Florentina steak, magnificent. If you're ever in Florence, find a place to get that steak.
Now, we've been off meat for a while, so maybe that's why it was so good, but it is known. Firenze is known for that. That's where it originates, comes from. I don't know, something like that.
Their way of cooking it, but
whatever,
it's amazing.
It's delicious.
Trying to think of what other thing. So in Cinque Terre, their anchovies are very fish and anchovies there. They've got these little snack wrap things that you get where it's like deep fried anchovies or whatnot, and that's apparently delicious. These are all little things to look out for when you're in certain areas. This mm-hmm. is the type of cuisine to ask for and to look for. But in
certain parts,
gelato is good everywhere.
I had my best gelato in Florence.
Yes,
I will say that.
I had my best gelato everywhere.
You're right. You can't get a bad gelato in Italy. You can't. But that was the best place I had. I had gelato.
Yeah. And
you've had gelato.
Yeah. So everywhere you look, there's pizzerias and gelaterias. But the key to finding good gelato is to make sure that there's a sign that says homemade, that they make it themselves mm-hmm. instead of it getting mass-produced.
And the gelaterias or gelatos that have like chocolate or Nutella or whatever, they're good, but they're not gelato apparently. And this is what our tour guide told us. Gelato is actually like a fruit thing.
Yes.
It's not necessarily like a chocolate thing. It needs to be fruit based.
Yes, the flavors that would require them to use aromas and things like that, you to get the best flavored or best gelato experience, you want to pick something that's a fruit flavor and it will be made with the real fruit mm-hmm. and it should taste like the real fruit.
That's right.
So you've been a limone fan.
Limone. I've been Tutto Bosco is what I have back home. And then the best gelato I've had in Florence was the ginger.
Mm.
I had ginger and limone together. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
The little spoonfuls I had, actually, you feel the ginger as you swallow it.
It had a little kick.
A little kick to it. Yeah, it was very good. It sounds gross as an ice cream, but it isn't. It's delicious. All right, Daft G, I think I got to get in the water because I'm dripping. People are melting up. All right. Are we going to do another take of this or should we wrap it up? Because I think we're going to have enough footage at this point.
I don't even know how much. I feel like we haven't said anything. I know we have, but like the amount of times we've pulled this thing out. Okay. I know how that. I heard how that came
that's
out.
That's the cue. I heard. To shut it down. That's the cue. Thank you, everybody, for listening. This has been Daft G and Eric Anthony roaming through Italia. We hope it was informative. We hope you enjoyed it. We will be back soon with reviews and comic book talk and pop culture talk, but this has been historical talk and world traveler talk.
Yeah.
So I hope you guys all enjoyed it. We'll be back soon in Canada.
Boo.
I know.
Not because Canada's not beautiful. It's just, it's reality.
Yeah.
Back to reality.
Back to life. Back to reality. Back to life. Thank you for listening, everybody.